Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 2021 offers, contact your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Vampire Funny Friday. 5-1-0-5-1, wash your hands. Okay, spread around the country. Seamus O'Rourke, you in Sligo? Seamus?
Sligo, yes.
Okay, Joe. You are our audience as well as a participant today. Seamus, when I say it's Vampire Funny Friday, what's been sucked out of it? What do you say, Seamus?
The energy.
Yeah, good lad, yeah. It's gone already, the energy. Vampire's more. Okay, in Galway, Frank Ford. Frank, can you talk to O'Cara?
I'm here. I'm a foreign national in Galway.
Because you're from Mayo.
Galway. Will
Mayo.
I get out alive?
Micheál O'Mahertig, how are you today?
I'm very, very good. And yourself?
And when I say Avihil, it's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it? What would you reply?
Oh, you know, the energy. That's from my bottom up.
Daniel O'Donnell, how are you?
God, I'm great, Joe.
It's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it, Daniel?
Oh, wait till I think. The energy. Good my God.
Colm O'Rourke, it's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it?
Well, apart from a lot of other things, I think that it's the energy, because everything is coming off the roof of my mouth.
Frank Toomey is in Cork. Frank.
I am indeed, Joe.
It's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it, Mary O'Rourke?
The energy, Joe. The energy. I'm lifeless.
June Rogers. June. June's at home. Are you at home, June?
Greetings from sunny Firhouse at the foot of the Dublin Mountains.
It's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it, Jacinta?
The energy!
Declan Callis. Declan, where are you?
Joe, how are you? I'm also at the foothills of the Dublin Mountains.
It's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it?
Joe, it's the energy. The energy's gone.
Where's it gone? We have here in studio Rob Canning from RT Archives. Rob, how are you?
I'm very good, Joe.
Here every day, all day during the pandemic. Afric O'Connell, 2FM presenter, here every day, every night during the pandemic. Okay, Afric, it's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it?
The energy.
Rob, it's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of
it? The energy.
Okay. Now let's go. Let's get a bit of energy into it. We're going to do archive clips as well, beginning with a wonderful clip. Well, let people judge themselves, Joe. It's called, what's it called, Afric? Introduce it, please, in three words or less.
From the Gay Byrne Show, it's called The Scratcher.
Okay, here it goes.
Now, Tom is a devoted family man. It's just that his family have some very odd habits.
Well, we do things like that in this house.
Do you indeed?
Yeah, we do. We're a scratching family. My son comes in, he comes in from college, and the first thing he comes in, he says, "Ma, will you give us a scratch?"
Give us a scratch?
This is a fact.
And where does she scratch him?
She'd scratch him on the head first, and then he'd pull up his shirt and she'd have to scratch his back.
You're joking.
Yeah, this is true as God. And that's the only time now my wife would let me, well, not she'd let me touch her. When we go to bed tonight, she says, "Oh, give me back a scratch, will you?"
And she scratches the sun.
And this is it. And then there we'd be some nights watching the television and we'd be all scratching each other. This is true as God.
Did you ever try fumigation?
Of course, my mother was like that. It's heredity. My mother, now she's listening to this.
Yeah, what?
And it was her that started that. Yeah. She used to always scratch my head.
Yeah.
It's the most soothing thing ever.
Really?
To have a scratch.
Really?
Now, did you never have a scratch?
No, nobody ever scratched.
Well, I'll tell you now, if I won the million there on Saturday game, I would have employed a scratcher. As true as God, a scratch. You can't beat a scratch.
And where do you scratch now, Tom? When you want a scratch, you say to your wife, "Well, give us a scratch."
Yeah, but if I wanted a scratch, I'd put a little cushion on her knee, and I'd lay out, put my head down, and she'd scratch the head.
Yeah, scratch the head.
And then the young lad, he'd look over, and he'd say, "Ma, give us a scratch."
Yeah.
And he'd come over, pull the shirt up, and she'd be scratching his back, and she'd be scratching my head. It's great crack. You can't beat a scratch.
I know. That's why the chimpanzees do it to one another in the zoo all the time.
And gay, gay's anniversary is next Wednesday. His fourth anniversary, hard to believe. By the way, who is the man? Who was the man? Does anyone know who the scratcher was? Was he?
He's just on as Tom in the archive. So
okay, that's Rob Canning. Rob, what are you going to introduce? By the way, everyone, it's Vampire Funny Friday already. What's been sucked out of it?
The energy.
Rob.
Well, the first one I'd like to introduce is a monkey who was buried with full military honours in Clonakilty back in 1943. And this is actually from a Gay Byrne show, OB.
This is not the running order, by the way. Anyway.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
But, yeah, you were reporting at the time. And
in what year?
1993.
She was still in shorts.
Right? You were still in shorts, and so was the monkey.
And what was it, a monkey?
It was a monkey who flew over with American GIs on one of those Flying Fortress airplanes and crashed. Yeah. And the locals of Clonakilty, you know, were curious and went over, and then they discovered that, you know, they were friendly. You know, it wasn't the Germans who had invaded during the emergency. So, and they brought the monkey back to...
Oh, I have no memory of it whatsoever. No memory. Go ahead, let's play it.
Have I time for the dead monkey story?
Yeah, you've time for the dead monkey.
Tomás, yes. Tomás of Hare, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning to you. Okay. Welcome to Clonakilty.
Well, let's keep going in the dead animal story. How do we get into this pattern? Well, the dead monkey story.
Just to put it in context now, the village here is set in the 1940s.
Of course.
And in 1943, the people of Clonakilty woke up as any ordinary day, unsuspecting that a flying fortress was on its way during the war. That had left the southern states in America, collected a passenger and a monkey in South America, headed for Africa, and their destination was somewhere in the south of England. So they overflew the Bay of Biscay in bad weather and thought they had overflown Britain and were landing in German-occupied Norway that morning. So they were flying over Clonakilty on the south coast of Ireland, of course, and... the plane was low on fuel, and people, it was lunchtime seemingly, and the people just, you know, as it was to get that close to a plane in 1943, was flying low. They thought it was going to knock the spire that you spoke about earlier, and it flew over the town and down to a marsh called White's Marsh, which is a piece of land between the island and the sea, which was reclaimed during the famine times. But anyway, they landed on that flat marsh. And the first gentleman to come on the plane was a man called Eddie Collins, who actually only died last year, but I actually heard him spinning the story himself. When he arrived to the plane, and there were guns trained in him now that he didn't actually realize at the time.
The LDF were out,
really. Well, they weren't yet, but anyway, they asked him in their best American English, where were they? And he exclaimed that they were in White's Marsh and that he was in Cork today and he wouldn't say anything. So with that, 3,000 people came over the hill in aprons, schoolboys, men in overalls. The whole town arrived onto this airplane, and the crew were taken back into Clonakilty by the LDF and the guards and that, and put under house arrest.
Marched in
with their monkey.
With the monkey.
And arrived in O'Donovan's Hotel, where a carnival ensued for 3 days. And these guys had leather jackets, they had chocolate, they had money, and they had, you know,
silk stockings and
sex appeal. But anyway, during the carnival, anyway, the monkey died.
The monkey died.
But he was buried with full military honors in the yard of the hotel. So the carnival, as I said, went on for 3 days, but the crew were taken off anyway, wherever, to be put back into the war. And in order to prolong the circus anyway, some bright spark got the idea that he got a friend to send a telegram from Dublin that the crew would be arriving back at the weekend for a farewell party. So they collected monies and drink and food and packed the hotel with it anyway. So the bus was due at 12 o'clock, and a couple of hundred people waited at Faxbridge at the edge of the town for the Gauline bus, which duly arrived and was welcomed into Clonakilty with waving hankies and screaming people. I mean, we have a reputation of being friendly, but not that friendly. So the 7 o'clock bus arrived and no crew, but the party continued anyway.
And was there a postmortem in a canary, Donal, by the way?
No, I never found out.
Still one of the great mysteries. And do we know how the monkey passed away?
Well, it is said that he choked on black pudding, but I don't think it. But I would imagine if it was Clonakilty black pudding he was eating, he'd be alive today.
I've no memory of that. That's very funny. That's Clannacilty with Gay, of course, way back in 1893, I think. Where's Fahil? We spoke to Michael Michal Muirhearty earlier, but now I'm told in the Galway studio, allowed to go home for the weekend is, well, he's not actually, he's still up in Ars and Uachtaráin, is Uachtaráin Michael D. Higgins. Uachtaráin, it's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it?
Oh, don't you know well what's been sucked out of it? The energy, and I am bilocational.
Are you?
I can be anywhere I want, and I don't have to ask you for permission.
Well, Uachtaráin, welcome again to Vampire. It's been a long time.
It is.
It's good
it
to
is.
Talk after such a long period.
I miss you, but I don't.
So much has happened, Uachtaráin. You say that the formation of the current government was especially difficult. The likes of it, you've never seen three ministers of agriculture in almost as many weeks.
Joe, I just want to tell you, I never seen the likes of it. And, you know, I felt so sorry for darling Cleary getting caught up in Golfgate. I wouldn't mind, but he knows as much about golf as our dog knows about his father. And he has a swing like Maria Bailey, and he drives like Barry Cowan. And then, of course, the Minister for Agriculture for September was, what do you call that fella in Donegal? Charolais McConnellogue.
From Donegal.
You know,
but speaking, because we haven't had an opportunity to speak to you, speaking of Golfgate, you must have had some sympathy, even now as time goes on, for European Commissioner Phil Hogan.
I did.
And did you? Fair play.
A sympathetic bone in my body, but I have to say I did. It's not easy. You know, he's down four pensions, Joe. That isn't easy. And between ourselves, he's finding it hard to pass the time. And I think recently he visited Photo Island and he got a bit spooked because all the giraffes were following him round, you know.
All the giraffes were following him
around? All the giraffes. Just a gaggle, if that's the right term.
Yeah, it is word, yeah, gaggle of giraffes.
Of giraffes following around the place. So he complained to the zookeeper.
Yeah.
But the zookeeper sort of laid his fear. He said, it's all right. He says, all they're doing is admiring your neck.
It's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it?
The energy. Well, I can put a Duracell battery in you, Joe, so we will.
How are you coping with COVID-19, Uachtaráin?
Well, I suppose I'm coping as best I can. I took up a little bit of gardening. I planted my arse on the couch last April, and it's been wonderful to watch it grow ever since. And, to tell you the truth, Joe, I had a little bit of a scary
incident. Speak freely,
Halloween in early
speak
summer.
Speak freely, it's three minutes or two, and I know for a fact there's no one listening. Speak freely, Uachtaráin.
That's right. Is there any chance that shut up and you'd stick to the script?
You had a bit of an incident in early summer.
I did, yes. I was getting ready a salad for myself, and by mistake, didn't I eat a daffodil bulb instead of an onion bulb? Oh, Joe, I spent a while in hospital, but my consultant, he assures me that I'll be all right. I have nothing to worry about, that I'll be out next spring.
Oh, brilliant. There's a gag in there somewhere. I'm just wondering, Uachtaráin, how Level 5 has impacted on yourself and Sabina for example, say, shopping. I mean, like, how do you manage to shop and maintain social distance?
Well, we don't really shop. We have the travelling shop comes round, and they have a variety of household goods and hardware. Actually, I was doing nothing, so I was, and I felt a bit guilty. So I bought 5 litres of Durex interior mulch.
I want to paint
the box room in the office. You'd never know when you'd have visitors, you know. So the man in the travelling shop says, well, he says, will I put it in a bag? And I says, no, leave it in the tin.
Your estimation, Uachtaráin, how the government has handled this difficulty we're going through, to say the least.
Oh, Joe. Well, I'm going to put it to you this way. At this stage, I would feel far safer if the coronavirus held a press conference telling us how it was going to save us from the government.
And do you have a view on the controversial distance from home that you can travel and exercise?
Level 3, 4, 5. That is completely nuts in keeping with Halloween. I mean, I think this 5 kg limit on people travelling from their home is...
It is an absolute disgrace. Effectively, what it means is that unless you're a baby, you can't travel away from home. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous.
And what about gyms? Do you think they should be allowed to reopen?
Well, you know, Joe, funny you should mention it. I drank a bottle of Jameson last night before I went to bed, and I start dreaming. Hussy me egg three ball chap. I was dreaming that I was in the gym in Castlebar with Andy Morton, and this... Oh, Joe, this gorgeous, tall, dark-haired lady walked in. She was stunning. Okay. And I turned to Andy and I says, what machine should I use to impress her? And he looked me up and down and says, I think the ATM machine would be at the best. The cheek of a whoever he thinks he is. But can I just say, Joe, that I have good news.
Yes.
I have some sort
Great,
of...
Great, thank God.
I'm
we waited long enough.
I'm going to hold a press conference later, and I'm making an order that all swimming pools will be open from next Monday, but due to social distancing now, there'll be no waters in lanes 1, 3 or 5.
Fantastic. I look forward to that. The American presidential election in a few days, have you contacted the American President Donald Trump to pass on, say, our nation's good wishes on his recent illness, for example, the coronavirus?
I did, actually.
Oh, well done.
I kept it simple. I just sent a get-well card. And do you know, Joe, I didn't know what to write, so I kept it short and simple. I just wrote to Donald, stay positive, from Michael D and Sabina on behalf of the Irish people, and I just... I just stuck in a Peter Marks voucher for a colour cut and blow dry. It expires next Tuesday.
Okay, I'll check in if you're all still there. It's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it?
The energy.
There's nothing. What do you call a vampire? This is from one of our listeners, the one-liners. Are you ready, guys? What do you call a vampire that lives in the kitchen? Count Spatula. Why do skeletons have low self-esteem? They've nobody to love. The maker of this product does not want it. The buyer does not use it. And the user does not see it. What is it? A coffin. What kind of ice cream does a ghost like? Ice cream. How can you tell a vampire likes basketball every night he turns into a bat? Why are there fences around graveyards? Because everyone dying to get in? And why did a vampire need mouthwash? Because he had bad bat breath. What are ghosts' favourite streets? Dead ends. Okay, we're going into our first ad break. And to bring us into our first ad break on this Vampire Funny Friday, good afternoon, President Donald Trump.
You know, Joe, I'm very, very happy. I don't want to say too much here, but I phoned the Kremlin in Moscow this morning, and they gave me next week's election results. 5-1, 5-5-1. Wash your hands. I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Man, you better let me attempt this. This is my favorite sound, but I love this. Listen, listen. Joe Duffy! Man, I love that.
That's Eddie Murphy. It's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it, everybody? The energy! And it's gone, and we're trying to get it back. We can't get it back. Rob, Miriam, I've just been speaking to upstairs. It's the highlight of my week. Miriam and Michael Morphy, not Mike Morphy, but
no,
Michael Morphy, the newsreader. What is this?
The newsreader. Well, we're sort of familiar.
Try and make the intro shorter than the actual clip.
Well, it was Michael Morphy on the news, and Miriam was standing in for John Murray.
Yes.
And he was slightly distracted.
Okay. This is. Go ahead. This is true now.
Oh, no, it's true.
John Murray Show with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
It's 10 o'clock, so we're going to go over to our newsroom and Michael Murphy. Michael, can you hear me? Traffic. Michael? Maybe he's not there.
Michael,
are you there?
Michael Murphy here.
Great, Michael. Michael, you're on. Michael, can you hear Miriam? We're live to the nation, Michael.
Good morning. I'm sorry I was tuned into Lyric. I didn't hear you.
Hope you enjoyed it.
Here is the news.
Oh, I know the feeling. Where's Gimme Zig and Zag? Who's got Zig and Zag?
I've got Rob. Zig and Zag. Now, these two are definitely outside their 5 kilometre zone because I think they came from Zog. So this is one of the first introductions to Zig and Zag on the Ian Dempsey Breakfast Show from the late 80s.
Fair play.
Stop!
Shh. No, she's going to.
Yo, bro, it's 10 to the hour, and we're on an AOR AM groove with their nationwide sound of QFM happening on a radio near you now. And did you know that Joe Dolan?
Yes.
Is a Radio 2 star.
I don't believe it.
Yeah.
I say,
what?
I wonder if we're, are we Radio 2 stars?
I don't think so, Zag.
anyway, did you know, just a bit, you were on Joe Dolan, on about Joe.
Joe,
Well, I know something about Joe.
What?
He is a keen horticulturist. Now, that's a word.
Is he? Yeah. I always thought he was okay.
No. A gardener.
Oh, a gardener.
A gardener.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a gardener. Yes, indeed.
Yes, Joe, indeed, gardener.
Joe has a passionate love of gardening.
Gardening.
He loves planting things like shrubs and flowers.
Shrubs.
Flowers.
Yeah.
But more than anything else, Joe Dolan loves to mow the lawn.
Mow the lawn.
Yes, indeed. Do you know what
it's a funny old...
No. Oh. Do you know he owns a gold-plated lawnmower?
Wow.
That he cannot be parted from.
I wouldn't blame him. Gold-plated lawnmower.
I know.
He must really love mowing the lawn.
I know, and so much so.
Yeah.
That he wrote a song especially dedicated to his lovely mower.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's it called?
He sings, more and more and more. More and more.
More and mowing the lawn.
Because
that's exactly what it is.
And cut the grass.
Cut the grass.
More and more.
1988, says our archivist Rob Canning. It's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it?
The energy.
Okay, what are ghosts' favourite streets?
Dead ends.
What does a ghost do on holiday? Or where does a ghost go on holiday? Malibu. Why did a ghost go into the bar? For the booze, of course. Why don't mummies have friends? Because they're too wrapped up in themselves. Afric laughed. It's now 2:10 here on RT Radio 1. Afric O'Connell's coming from 2FM. And after 25 minutes, we got her to laugh. What do skeletons order at a restaurant? Spare ribs. Do we have the international spy of mystery on the line?
Are you talking to me, Joe?
Cheers.
Or are you just clearing your throat?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Bond. Oliver Bond.
Ah.
You fade it in.
I just got away from the missus for a few minutes. Polly.
Thank you. Yeah.
Polly Bond.
Potty Bond.
Me like glue.
Potty Bond. So what are you up to these days, Oliver?
Well, I was offered to be part of the Donald Trump detail, but I'm biding me time. Joe Biden.
You thought tomorrow night was going to be the night of horrors. Wait and you see the election result on Tuesday night in the USA. You're Oliver, I must say, you're as sharp as ever. The nine month hiatus hasn't dimmed you.
Joe, I have to be on my toes. It's the only way I can see over the steering wheel. Anyway, I had a very eventful day, Joe. Will I tell you what happened?
Oh, I think I've little choice.
Okay. The name's Bond. Oliver Bond. I work for Garda Intelligence. I know. That's a contradiction in terms. I'm a street fighter. I've a license to mill. I was sitting in my office the other day when this tall blonde walked by my window. I could see she was tall. My office is on the 17th floor. The phone rang.
Don't hold it in your
PA.
Let it out.
Miss Spendapenny. She was ringing from the jacks again. She said, is that you, Oliver?
Oliver.
Get your cacks over to my place, big boy. There's nobody here. I went over. There was nobody there. Wrong address. I hailed a taxi. Yeah. The taxi pulled up with a jerk. The jerk got out and I got in. I said, St. Bridget's close. He said, don't worry, I'll try to lose her at the next lights. He took a corner at 80 miles an hour. But a big fat guard made him put it back. When I got to Miss Spendapenny, she opened the door in her negligence. Funny place to have a door. She greeted me
I
with
know
a burning
people laughing
kiss.
Somewhere.
Then took the woodbine out of her gob.
She gobbed, what did you say, Oliver? She gobbed you with a smouldering kiss and then she said, okay. I know there's people laughing somewhere.
No, she greeted me
Oliver.
With a burning kiss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
go then ahead. Took the woodburn out of her gob. I could see she was going to be easy.
Oh, easy.
The mattress strapped to her back was a dead giveaway. Suddenly she pointed 2 .38s at me, Joe. Thank God she didn't have a gun. Then she took me into the living room. There was a copy of Harrier magazine on the coffee table with her mug on the cover. She picked up the mug and finished her coffee. I asked about her husband. Don't worry about him, she said. He's burnt out. In the bedroom, I asked. No, she said, in the crematorium. Then she took me to the bedroom. I could see the curtains were drawn, but the bed was real. I ran my hands through her long, curly black hair.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't like being tickled under the armpits. But she was great in bed, until I got in. Afterwards, she said it was the best 10 seconds of her life. I decided to make myself scarce. I told her this place wasn't big enough for the two of us. So she said she'd get Dermot Bannon around to have a look at the joint. I said, good luck with that, but I'm off. She said, so that's what the smell is? Anyway, Joe, I held her close.
Yes.
She cried,
I know,
and the tears streamed down her back. Did I tell you she was cross-eyed? Anyway, I gotta go, Joe. I gotta do this again tomorrow.
In front of a live audience. It's a Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it?
The energy!
Afric O'Connell, please, Afric, get energy back into it quickly. It's draining
very important.
Fast. We're draining the swamp, quick.
Very important in the pandemic to keep the spark alive. So
yes.
From Liveline in 1986, Anya Lawler goes to Moore Street to ask shoppers and stall holders how they keep the spark alive.
Liveline in 1986?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Presented by Marion Finucane and Anya Lawler.
Late, great Marion Finucane as well.
Okay,
Anya Lawler.
Yes.
Now... now presenting Morning Ireland.
Indeed.
Oh, serious
presenter. She's gone downhill.
Oh, yeah. Listen.
She began by being a reporter on Liveline. Okay. Keeping romance alive with Anya Lawler in Mirror Street.
The black leather boots.
There we are.
And the hat.
There
you are, Brian. Nothing happened in the windows of Germany.
5 for 50 to wrap him.
And
get the last of the chicken. What is it?
A little blue movie. That start them all together.
I don't think we'll go to that extreme somewhere or other, you know. Seeing where, I suppose city people might, you know, but I'm from the country, different job, you know. So we're more inclined to the old-fashioned ideas and that, you know.
And what would that be?
Oh, well, you know, we don't go in for this romance as much. We think it's a lot of nonsense, you know.
If I wore what? Just kind of some sexy French underwear or something like that and a coat over. And if you met him for lunch someday, your husband, what do you think he'd say if you met him like that?
He'd have me certified. I wouldn't go out like that anyway. Oh. I usually go around like that at home, you know.
Oh, I think a trip to Paris would be far more romantic and far nicer. Book a hotel there and stay the night there. Candlelit dinner for two, I suppose, the usual sort of boring stuff.
And would you get all dressed up like I just suggested in the coat and just the underwear?
No, negligee, actually, I've been informed, are very sexy things, but I don't personally find them sexy.
What would you wear then?
Well, it depends on what stage of the night you're talking about.
Oh, he'd love every minute of me. He'd be only mad about me, he'd never leave me.
Is it me you're looking for?
This is them. I wouldn't go out with him today because I'm 37 years married to him, and I'm telling you, I know, right?
And he's gone.
If I can give him a few nails, I was keeping quiet. That's right, give him. That's right, give him. After having 12 kids, Jesus, not a sexy night. I'm after having 15 kids, and you'd want an elastic to pull her up now.
And do you think Irishmen are romantic? Do you think they know what women like?
Depends what you're into.
I'm so afraid of love, cause you're so romantic.
Disgraceful stuff. And on a bank holiday, indeed.
And isn't that just great to hear Marion's wonderful voice again? Brilliant. Thank you for leaving that in, Afric.
Of course.
That was. Did I ever tell you that gag about when the organic carrots arrived in Moore Street and Bridie and Maisie are standing there and Maisie starts... No, I won't tell you.
No, you started.
Oh, it's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it?
The energy.
51551, wash your fangs. Wash your fangs. Where's Concepta?
How are you, Joe? How are you?
Of all the people I've missed in the 9 months here in my little capsule.
You're very good, Joe.
No, I didn't say you. I didn't say you. You might hold your horses. Concepta, how have you been getting on?
I've been getting on grand, Joe. Good. I'm doing a load of writing. And I'm great. After going through more boroughs than Shakespeare went through quills. But look, it's great.
And what about school? Have you been in school much? Have you noticed a difference this
year? I'm trying
to
picture the building. Oh, yeah. School, it's been great, Joe, yeah.
Has it? And have you been in school often, Concepta?
Well, I went back when everybody else went back, Joe. The least I could do. Yeah.
And how did you find it with the sanitizer and the social distancing?
I found it grand. It's still in the same place, just around the corner. Great.
And the bubbles and the pods.
The bubbles and the pods and everything, Joe. It's great. And the teachers are looking after us shocking well. So there's no fear about anything.
Okay, Concepta. Now, you've put your time to good use.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Okay. And you've written another award. Board Banyas, sorry, used to do the essay competitions. And you've won another one, I'm told, with this one. What's this one called? Have we a name on it?
There's no name on it as such, Joe, because it's like, you know, things change all the time, Joe. And you only have it named and you have to rename it, you know.
Okay, Concepta.
No problem.
What age are you now, Concepta?
An awful thing to ask a young lady what age I am, Joe, because I have to try to get into discos now when all this settles down, you know.
I was listening to that that Vox Pop with Anya in Moore Street, whenever it was, 1986. Like, they talked about going to Paris, candlelight dinners for two, going for a drink, stuff we can't do anymore.
It's shocking.
Shocking. Well, anyway, Concepta, it begins. Well, isn't the world going through a shocking bad time?
It is. Concepta. And I'm going to tell you now all about it.
Tell us.
Well, isn't the whole world going through a shocking bad time?
It is.
It was a time for strong leadership to be shown and decisive decision making by the elders of the land. And if you wanted that, you had to go to New Zealand. But the people had spoken a long time ago in the election of elders to run the country.
Right.
And when all the dealing was done, there emerged a triumvirate of leaders. The Holy Trinity was in charge. Micheál, Leo and Éamon de Ghrian. Three in one, like the oil and just as slippery. And the people cried out, "We didn't vote for that. But before the sound of their cries died away, 12 more cycle lanes appeared. And Éamon de Ghrian would arrive at the temple, worn out from the cycling along all the cycle lanes, and I dare say a bit sweaty. And after removing his bicycle clips and a quick spray of Lynx Africa, he would settle into the comfy chair for a snooze. But Leo is set to become the leader again in a rotation agreement, like crop rotation, replacing the cabbage with the turnip and so on. Well, isn't it nearly Halloween?
It sure is.
A time when zombies walk the land. Zombies, Joe.
Zombies.
With no will of their own.
No
will. Walking blindly around the place with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they're doing or where to go. But enough about Fine Gael. This is far more important. And the children will turn into Americans and ask to go trick-or-treating for candy, within their own houses, of course, now for obvious reasons. But the people of the land have been asked to go back to more traditional ways this Halloween, bobbing for apples. Why anyone would want to drown themselves for a Cox's Pippin, Joe, is beyond me. And if you do survive the drowning, you could choke on the 50-cent piece your ma's putting into your mashed potatoes, or break a tooth on the brass ring in the brack. Give me a bag of Haribo and I'm happy out. Now, despite all the worry in the land, there was one person who was determined to keep going through thick or thin, whether you liked it or not. Joseph the listener. And Joseph reached out to the people, after he washed his hands, of course, and gave them a virtual hug. And he even managed to ask some of them what the meaning of life was. Oh, I'd love to be on that show. And Joseph would ask me, "Concepta," he would say, "what would you say to Holy God if you met him at the pearly gates?" And I'd sit there all serious and all, scratching me chin, thinking like, and I'd say, "Joseph, if I met Holy God at the gates, I would go up to him and with all due respect would ask, are you having a laugh?" And Holy God would say, "Concepta, love, come on in, but wash your hands. Oh, give up your old sins.
Give up your old sins." Well done, Concepta. We missed you so much.
Thank you so much.
It's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it?
The energy.
Okay, we now have Katie Taylor to bring us into the operate. Katie, how are you, Katie?
How's it going? Just want to say, you know, it's very important to, you know, text 51551. Wash your hands, you know. Thanks for all the support as well. And, yeah, just stay safe and, yeah, wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Yeah, so, like, Joe Duffy, amazing.
Did anyone see Kim Kardashian and David Letterman the other night?
No.
Talking about, wasn't she the poor woman that was robbed in Paris?
Yes, yeah. At gunpoint.
No,
yeah.
She was crying, and I know some of my family are watching, and they were crying too. That's serious. Very moving, by all accounts. That was Al Foran. Al Foran doing various. You're listening to Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it so far?
The energy.
For Halloween, there's another list. For Halloween, we dress up as almonds. Everyone could tell we were nuts. What's a nice ghoul like you doing in a crypt like this? That's you're listening there to Lynx Afric O'Connell, who presents the program.
Come on.
Presents a program every Saturday morning on
Weekend
2FM,
Breakfast on
from
2FM,
yeah. Till 10 past 7 due to popular. How's 2FM been doing in the lockdown?
It's great, Joe.
It's great to see you all here, Paul and Dan and all the crew, every day.
Provided a break.
Jennifer, I see Jennifer Zamparelli every day.
Jennifer's in,
she teaches me new words every day. Does after she, the program. The one like she gave me the other day. Tone change.
Oh, tone change. Light to shade, you mean?
Yeah, light to shade. Tone change.
Yeah, lovely.
Okay, can you go to light?
I can go to light, yes, it's absolutely. Called? So from 19...
Or something rhyming with light. It's called...
What are you talking about? This is the case of the driving dog.
Okay.
So this is from a programme called April Diary from 1985's Pádraig Dolan, in which Justice Dermot Dunleavy recalls a case he adjudicated on, which must be one of the weirdest excuses to a guard of all time. It starts with the guard giving evidence about an incident where he had stopped a car driving erratically in Cullen.
So he got out of his car, the guard got out and went back to the defendant's car to see the defendant sitting in the passenger seat and a dog sitting in the driver's seat with his front paws up on the steering wheel and his back paws pointing towards the controls. And the guard said to the defendant, "Don't you know you shouldn't be driving this car?" Oh, he said, "I am not driving. Shushu is driving." That was a laughter in court, of course. So that concluded the evidence for the prosecution and counsel. So eventually Frank Rowe said, "Well, I'll call my client." He called the defendant, and the next thing I saw this big man. He was well over 6 foot, coming up from the back of the court, dressed in a big raincoat and a big hat and a stick. And he pounced up into the witness box and he swore that he was not driving, that Shushu was driving. And he said, "Your Honour," he said, "they have actually, she's a good driver. They've actually refused to give her a licence. And she can drive a car, Your Honour, as good as you." I said, "Maybe she can. Was she sober?" I said, "Was she sober on the occasion?" "She was as sober as a judge." "Well, she wasn't as drunk as a lord," I said. "No, she was not as drunk as a lord, Your Lordship." And eventually, after the laughter in court, I was compelled to convict the defendant. Then his counsel submitted that he was already an alcoholic under treatment. So I had to, of course, convict him. And as a result of the conviction, I had to disqualify the defendant for the statutory period of 3 years, as he had already been convicted. But I did adjourn my decision as to whether I would impose a prison sentence or a fine to allow the defendant to take the treatment. So about 2 years afterwards, I was going up the street to the court one morning, and who did I see but the defendant and the dog standing outside the courthouse. And as I approached, the defendant said, "Stand up there now, Shushu. And salute that decent man that let you off."
Does anyone remember? Oh, by the best gag so far that's been sent in. "I want to be something really scary for Halloween. So this year I'm dressing up as a mobile phone battery at 2%. Good, isn't it?
The pressure.
That's good. Okay, Rob, what have you got?
We have some commentary, Micheál Ó Muirchertach style.
Is Micheál there? Micheál, will too, is in Galloway. And
of course.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just trying to check up that check that you are all awake. It's Vampire Funny Friday, guys. What's been sucked out of it?
The energy.
The energy, and it's gradually gone down to about 2% at this stage. Okay, Rob Canning.
So this is if Micheál Ó Muirchertach or Micheál O'Hare had done a cricket commentary, GAA style, and this is from a 1960s. Comedy program called Not So Green with David Kelly and Jim Norton.
Radio Erin, we regret that we have lost contact with our broadside outcast. Never mind. So here instead is a medley of lunacy and tunacy called Not So Green with David Kelly and Jim Norton, and by kind permission of the management, the Green Beat.
See you, swear Eva Cardi, and welcome once again to the splendor and the pageantry and the excitement of Lord's Cricket Ground on this great, great day in the lives of all who follow CAA, which of course means Commonwealth Athletic Association. Time is ticking away now in the final minutes of this exciting tussle between England, the holders, and Australia, the mighty men from down under. The new ball's just been thrown in, and it goes to Truman. Truman has it now. He's running back 9, 12, 15 yards down the village. He's turning and racing down the ball. Nobody tries to stop him. He bowls. It's a long one going right down the wicket where Richie Benno is waiting for it. Benno gives it a hard pocket going towards the sideline, but Beck Dexter is there chasing after, so too is Colin Cowdery. The umpire's looking at his watch now as Dexter gets the ball and throws it along, hard and low towards the canal end wicket, where the wicketkeeper goes high and wide to get a hand to it. There's quite a bit of excitement down there now as Benno kicks the wicketkeeper. Dex is in there too, and so is the Artane Boys Band. Truman has the ball now. He shoots, but it goes wide. And there goes the tea time whistle. The tea time whistle, leaving the score. Australia 567, England 43. And Shino will look hard at you, Morgan Swan and Dave Conair.
Who was that?
The Green Beats.
John, the wonderful John.
The wonderful John Coe, yeah.
Okay, by the way, the Scratcher. Earlier on with Gay. The Scratcher. His name, apparently, was Tom Kavanagh. Yeah. He was a bus driver on the 78 bus, which went by my house every single day. Still does. No, it doesn't, actually. It doesn't. It's gone. The house is there, but the bus is gone. The bus driver, the 78 bus, and has since passed away about 6 years ago. That came in from a load of my friends, Tommy Morris and Ken Larkin and Ballyfermot. By the way, when I hear Ken Larkin's name, Ken, we're doing Christmas Eve differently this year, as you know. So if you have, I know you're a great supporter of Christmas Eve, Ken. If you have photographs of previous Christmas Eves, or if anyone has either video or photographs of previous Christmas Eves, would you copy them? And you can email them to us at joe@rte.ie. Don't sell us any originals under any circumstances. But we have an idea for the programme on Christmas Eve, the very special programme on Christmas Eve this year. So if you have photographs from previous Christmas Eves or video or whatever you used to use in those days, because it's been going, I reckon, 40 years. I reckon it was 1980 when I first rambled down to Grafton Street to see it. I was in a pram, I think, in a pram. selling cheeky jelly. I just love to know when it started. It's at least 40 years old anyway, and this year, for obvious reasons, it's going to be different. Seamus O'Rourke, it's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it, Seamus?
The energy.
Kind of a thought to Seamus. Seamus, first of all, let people know, I've said it so often, people think I'm in your back pocket. The name of your memoir is called
Standing in Gaps,
and you publish it yourself.
Yeah,
it's self-published. You wrote it during the lockdown. Now, my great upset, having read it, I think it's fantastic, really well written, classic of its time. My regret was that it wasn't published by one of the big publishers, because it would have got into the, I've no doubt it would have got into the Book Awards, but because it's self-published, you don't get a look in. But anyway, Seamus, where can people get the book?
I'm trying to get it into lots of bookshops, but
it's tough.
It's on my website, and there's a list of stockists on my website also.
Okay, and how's it going so far?
Great, it's flying. I'm ordering every day.
But you're doing it yourself. It's a one man operation.
A one man show, yeah, because that's the way we do it in Leeds.
Did you have an editor for the book?
I know, I'd done that myself.
I gathered that, yeah. It's anyone that I've been passing it around to people, which means
pass it around.
I don't want to say that.
Wash your hands, Joe.
Okay, Seamus, what have you got for us?
A Scare Before Christmas.
Okay, do you want sound effects, sir?
Dry your eyes, mate. Okay. The Christmas plushin will have to wait. Pick up your tablets, your phones, your personal devices. The government advice is stop. And then go forth to love and serve the festive feast in your best PPE, polka dot ensemble. That's the crack this year. We're having fear for breakfast with our cornflakes. The weather and our spirit is finally broke. Don't stick your nose out or you'll catch a cold or something worse. Even the ready breck and the Weetabix have been found wanting. For the next short while, maybe a good while, depends on the lad with the stop-go sign, we will be withdrawn, pale and subdued, watching an episode of today that was made on some faraway yesterday in the summer. Another repeat as we sit in slumber, double bubble wrapped and strapped to our settees, bored out of our trees, on our knees looking for a lifeline or a number for Liveline or a small bit of bale and twine. Nothing on the clothesline except tea bags and toilet roll. We decided to recycle this time round, instead of cycling round like the last time round, riding round on bicycles that didn't want us on them, going slowly, nowhere, slowly, just getting hungry. So what now? Suddenly, in the distance, out from the cocooning corners of our country, from the bit we have and the bit we left behind, from north and south, we see unmasked men, a whole herd of Herman's hermits bounding over hoardings, knocking the hat off rhetoric and regulations, an elite school of sprinting sportsmen smeared in goose grease and wintergreen, heading for our battlefield of dreams. The GAA Intercounty Championship has never seen the far side of Halloween. Whoa, scary. The proceedings will take place behind closed doors. The gates are locked, the biscuit tin flung to kingdom come, the car park attendant at home twiddling his thumbs. Only those in the huddle and the greater GAA bubble need attend. Only they can bend the rules like Kieran MacDonald's left shoe. The hats, scarves and ice cream all deemed null and void. The stay-at-home fans drinking cans and staying healthy mentally. Do not adjust your set, that's Marty Morrissey. Our beacon of light, like a Chernobyl glowworm in the floodlit night. Whoa, scary. And who will win this ghostly caper? Who will win before they are vaporized by Casper and his COVID cousins? The Dubs are the home team. They'll surely win it once again. But what will it mean to them or us? What happens if the bubble bursts? Or worse, what if there's celebration? We can't have that coming up to Christmas.
Is Seamus O'Rourke. It's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it?
The energy.
Remember, masks aren't just for Halloween anymore. They're for every waking hour of every day. A message now from Morgan Freeman.
Joe, I've put on 2 stone during lockdown. I've just had so much on my plate. My good wife is not impressed. I fell down the stairs last week, and she thought EastEnders was on the telly. 5-1-5-5-1. Wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Can't believe the producers have put me up to this. Joe Duffy, okay?
Thanks, Roy. God, you put all the energy in. It's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it by Roy Keane?
The energy!
Rob, Mike Murphy, Scrap Saturday.
Mike Murphy, Scrap Saturday. This is probably the most important series that RTÉ's radio has done in terms of comedy. And this is Mike in 1990 visiting an art exhibition.
And Mike Murphy used to present the...
He presented the art show.
And now
he's podcasting, doing senior times.
That's right, doing it very well. Okay, Mike Murphy, Scrap Saturday, being impersonated by the incredible Dermot Ball.
Yeah, it really is a wonderful exhibition.
Yes, Mike, and a very important one.
Of course. Yeah, now that piece there is very striking. Yeah, isn't it? Though a tad abstract, perhaps, you know, would you say?
That's a fire extinguisher, Mike.
Wonderful, yeah. What's the title?
No, Mike, it's a fire extinguisher hanging on the wall.
Fire extinguisher hanging on the wall, indeed. The title is so evocative, isn't it, really? So redolent of a post-neo-ultra-crazy...
No, Mike, you see, it just happens to be hanging there.
Oh, naturellement, yeah. It could just as easily be stood on the ground or on a table, but the artist chose to hang it. Symbolic, perhaps, of hanging to our lives. lives by a thread, do you think? Death by fire and all of that?
No, Mike, it's only there to put out fires.
Highly symbolic, I agree. Putting out fires, a sign of purification. That striking red motif, the cold, steely texture, and that hose effect, a phallic metaphor, of course. Who is the artist?
The fire brigade, Mike. Now, if you'll just come over
here,
I'd like to have a look at
the boys in the helmets. Hey, well, fair dues to them, that's what I say. They all got together, put their hearts and souls into it, and came up with this delightful exhibit.
It's not an exhibit, Mike.
Yeah,
no,
not an exhibit. Extraordinary, yeah, well, just because they are firemen, perhaps? Disgraceful snobbery on the part of the organisers, I should have thought. In any other country of the world, that would be a winning award. If we had even...
Mike, the point is, it's not art.
Not art, indeed.
No.
Not at all.
No, I'm afraid not. It's just a fire extinguisher for use in the event of a fire. It has nothing to do with the exhibition at all.
Well, there you are, then, the incredible story of the fire extinguisher that everyone was fooled into thinking was part of that extraordinary exhibition of new Irish art and caused a huge furore on the local art scene, indeed.
That was terrible, Morgan. Mike Murphy. Okay, this is good. I have won first place in this Halloween costume competition 16 years in a row, Texar caller.
What?
This year, I'm dressing up as a hot dog. I'm on a roll. Mary O'Rourke, Mary, how are you in there? Mary O'Rourke, how are you?
How am I? Oh, and Joe, Jesus, how am I? Listen, I don't know whether I'm going or coming. And you know something? No disrespect.
Yeah.
My hands are washed off me. Good. Joe, my hands now are like an orangutan's arse from washing. So will
and
you please?
And Mary, how are you doing during the lockdown? He asked plaintively.
Well, Joe, you know me. I mean, look, I'm a bit bored. But apart from that, I mean, I always look on the bright side. You know me. People say all the time, Mary O'Rourke, you're always in good form. How do you do it? And I always say, Joe, vodka.
did you take up a hobby? Did you do more reading? For example, did you read... Shane Ross's book In Bed with the Blue Shirt.
That's a kindness. Now that's a kindness. Well, I didn't read it. I coloured it in. I did. No, well, Joe, God love him. There's not much in it, Joe. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit dull, like himself. I mean, I've read it from cover to cover, Joe. And I must say, now, I didn't get much insight into any... you know, thing to do with the Ministry of Transport, Tourism and Sport, but I suppose Shane didn't get much insight into that either. The whole thing, like I said, was a bit dull. Do you know, Joe, there's a rumour going around now that the bold Shane wasn't in fact a government minister at all, that was only all a cover. That he was actually an MI5 plant in the cabinet. Now, bear in mind the accent he has, right? It makes perfect sense, Joe. He was an undercover agent for MI5, and the whole thing was called Operation Plumber.
Operation Plumber?
Yeah. Well, Joe, he was obsessed with leaks.
Cabinet. Seriously, Mary, what have you really been doing?
Well, Joe, between you, me, and the canteen, I actually started a She Bean.
Oh, no. A She Bean.
Mary's Speakeasy, I called it. Mary's Easy Corner.
I mean, after all, there was a load of furore about She Beans in the Midland. But, Mary, what were you thinking?
Well, dude, that's...
What were you thinking?
I wasn't thinking. I mean, it just happened. Would you have a bit of mercy?
And how can you say it just happened, for God's sake?
Well, look, Joe, do you want me to tell you the story?
Yes, I do.
Well, look, like I said, it was long before...
I have 20 minutes to fill, I do.
Look, it was long before. It's nothing to do with the lockdown. It's Donny Cassidy actually called to my house, right?
Okay.
Donny Cassidy, he called for looking for advice, as he sometimes does. So I called him in. I said, come in, Donny, leave the rug outside. And I said, do you want a drink? He said, I will, Mary, I'll have a drink. So I told him to take a seat in the carriage.
In the carriage?
Yes.
Okay, and what did he do in the carriage?
Well, he went out to the carriage.
Garage. Sorry, I'm losing you down the line there, Mary. He's in the garage now.
I sent him to the garage.
Yes, okay.
Well, it's nothing to do now with lockdown, Joe.
Okay.
It's just I don't like Donnie around the house.
Do you not?
You know
why
not? Not at all. So there he was. He was out in the garage and he had a drink or two. And I thought, you know something? This could catch on. So I started inviting a few more people and Air Joe, but it didn't last long. Once it became once people started giving out about it, I stopped.
And it's still a she being.
No, I've moved on, Joe. I was actually between ourselves, Joe. I have been asked by Fianna Fáil head office to come back to act as a style guru for Micheál Martin.
What's wrong with Micheál's style?
What, Jesus, Joe? I mean, that's the problem. He hasn't got any. I mean, he'd want to smarten himself up, wouldn't he now? Especially if he's delivering news like he is on every night. I mean, there he is. That must be a lockdown suit he has on. Joe, a blue suit, a garter shirt and tie. I mean, he's more blue shirts than the blue shirts themselves, Joe. I mean, really, so the thing is, like I said, I was called in to... you leave him to me now for 2 weeks, and I guarantee you, Joe, that I will have Micheál looking like Leo Varadkar, who, by comparison, is like a tiger lily compared to Micheál. Leo is like a tiger lily.
But given your experience, were you at all called in for the government formation talks when they got into difficulty?
You're obsessed with that. I told you that any talk of me being called in to talks is utter fake news. I wasn't. Now, I did get a call from Micheál Martin, if you must know. But that was around the time of Barry Cowan. Barry Cowan was in trouble, I remember it. And I rang Barry straight away myself. I said, Barry, look, man up. I said, look, you did a U-turn too many, right? So get out of agriculture and go into Formula One. I said, you could open a track. Do you know where, Joe? Burr.
But Mary, you haven't answered my question.
What's your question?
Were you involved in the formation talks?
I told you that. Whatever you heard is fake news.
No.
Can I put it like this?
Yes.
Or at least you're going to put it like what to me? What are you going to say?
Can I put it like this to you?
Go on, Joe. I thought you'd never
Did you take an urgent call from Micheál Martin during a break in government formation talks? Yes or no, Mary?
Yes, Joe. I did.
And what was it about?
Well, listen, look, Spartas, if you must know, that call had nothing at all to do with government formation.
He wanted to know
if I'd do up a plate of mixed salad sandwiches on brown bread.
No, that's an insult. A woman of your standing.
That's
a plate
what
of sandwiches. And what did you say?
I said you can forget it, Micheál. I said you go back in there now like a man, form a government, and then meet me outside Louis Copeland's.
That's Frank Toomey. Well done, Frank Toomey. It's Vampire Funny Friday. What's been sucked out of it?
Can I say something very special before I go, Joe, please?
Yes, yes.
I got a phone call while I was waiting from Santi. Santi said, Mary, will you please tell everybody, the kids especially, that even though there's no pantomimes, even though they can't come to see me in stores, I'll call them. I'll make a phone call to them. They can check it all out.
We'll
SantaCalling.ie.
SantaCalling.ie. Okay.
Thank you, Joseph.
Africa.
Yes.
Fungi.
Yes, of course. One of our saddest losses this year. Barry Lang's 1990 Doc on One travelled to the kingdom to find out about the most famous dolphin on earth. And in this clip, Barry speaks to Ronnie Fitzgibbon, who was one of the first people to meet Fungi and one of the people who knew him best.
Has he ever let you down, Ronnie? Has he ever not shown?
Once ever. It was the day the BBC came.
It would be that day, wouldn't it?
That was the one evening. There was no sign of him. High up blood on myself to every place. And even we gave up. We thought he had disappeared. And the following morning we went out, and there he was, and he waiting for us. He said he had a bit of business.
Goodbye, Dingle's Rose. May you ever grow in our hearts. You had the grace to place yourself in a county that wasn't Cork. We never would have heard the end of it. And even though we all assumed that you had been dead for years and been replaced by trained dolphins, that hasn't stopped our tears. And it seems to me you lived your life like a clown in a circus ring, working through the crowds like a Healy Ray at a funeral. And your flippers will always sound out along the wild Atlantic way, the cutest mammal in Kerry is now Dahi O'Shea. Dingle's proudest son, the reason we've gone there all these years, and further crack and people and scoops of Murphy's ice cream. Funky, where have you gone? Oh God, hope you're not trapped in a trawler's net. Oh, 2020, how much worse can this year get? And it seems to me you lived your life like a fish upon the sea, alongside boats full of squealing children and the odd hammered hen party. And wherever you have gone now, I pray you're having a great time. I dread to think you might be on a supermarket shelf in brine. We love you, Fungi. Come back.
That's just a beautiful tune, isn't it?
It's very moving.
Charlemagne.
Okay. Yeah, I think we need to set up a GoFungi page.
It's a very, very oh,
God. Okay, a message from Al Pacino.
5-1, 5-5-1. Sounds like a football formation, but it's not. It's a text to Joe. So I think what you should do now is go to a sink and wash your hands. Because it's very important. Okay?
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Joe Duffy! Hoo-ha!
That was Al Pacino. And that was Al Forn. Rob, quickly into the wonderful Saoirse Ronan story that everyone's looking for. Jerry Ryan Show, when?
Jerry Ryan Show, 2004. Shrek competition to win a prize, to go to Florida with her family and her dog.
Saoirse Ronan was what age?
Oh, she was...
8 or 9?
A little bit older, I think. Maybe
yeah, well, not much older.
Not much older.
Okay, okay. Jay Ryan, Saoirse.
Now, Saoirse is 10 years of age.
Yeah.
A big Shrek fan. Looking forward to the new Shrek 2 movie, yeah?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be on release on Friday.
Yeah.
Now, which character have you chosen?
I'm going to do the gingerbread man.
And you're going to make your case as to why you should win the prize.
Okay.
Off you go, Saoirse.
Okay. Hiya, Jerry. The reason why I need a holiday is because I've never had a holiday before. My mom works so hard, and my dad tried to get a part in Trek 2, but they wouldn't give it to him, Jerry, because he wasn't a big enough cookie. That's why I need a holiday, Jerry. Oh, please, Jerry. I can't stay alone with all these maniacs. I just have to get a holiday, Jerry. Never before in my life have I had a holiday. I've been in school and all the kids have gone on holiday. Told me all about it, brought back pictures and postcards, presents and all. And I never got to go anywhere. So please, Jerry, please let me go on holiday.
Very good, Saoirse. Well done.
Thank you.
And you didn't even have to resort to the fear that somebody was going to bite your head off or your leg if you didn't get out of the jurisdiction soon. Very good. Great performance. Well done.
Thank you.
Okay. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, Jerry.
Okay, well done. Okay, we're going to give you a little few marks there. And I think I'm not going to be the only judge involved here now. So if you meet me later on today, please don't take it out of me if you didn't win. Saoirse Ronan, good morning to you.
Hi, Jerry.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Now, you were with us last week, weren't you?
Yeah.
The beginning of the week. It was Monday, was it?
Yeah, it was Monday.
Yeah. Can you remember the characters that you did for us?
Yeah, I did the gingerbread man.
You did. You did a very good gingerbread man too, didn't you?
Yeah, thanks, Jerry.
Yes, you were very, very good indeed. Who helped you out?
My mammy helped me out.
Your mammy?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Monica.
Monica. Who else is in the family?
My dad and my dog, Sassy.
So you've got your dad and your dog.
Yeah.
And your mammy.
Yeah.
Are you the only little girl in the house, are you?
Yeah.
Well, have you ever been to America?
Well, I was actually born in New York, but I've never been to Florida.
You were born in New York?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Yeah.
Wow. Are your parents American?
No, they're Irish.
They're Irish?
Yeah.
And have you been back since?
No.
No?
No.
No. Well, I've got news for you.
Yeah?
Very good news. You're going to Florida.
Oh, this is brilliant.
It is brilliant, isn't it? Oh, my God. Isn't it brilliant?
Oh, thank you so much, Jerry.
You're going to have an absolute ball with your mum and dad. I don't think you'll be able to bring the dog. The dog will have to stay at home. Are you delighted?
Yeah. Brilliant.
It is a bit brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, you go off and you tell them all about it. And you tell the whole neighbourhood because you were great.
That was brilliant.
Okay, thanks, Jerry. Oh.
Bye, Saoirse.
Bye.
Saoirse Ronan, 10 years old. Yeah. Rob, how did you find, you found that?
Well, I was working on a programme called Children at the Microphone and we were looking at the history of children's programmes and it just sort of came up in the catalogue, you know, in like it was almost serendipitous.
And but no one said to you, the Saoirse Ronan's on.
No, there was no clues well whatsoever.
That's Rob Canning, so I'm saying goodbye to Rob now. We'll do this again, not necessarily on air, after O'Connell, tomorrow morning, 2FM. To say goodbye, today's programme was produced by Rebecca Meehan. And, by the way, let me say goodbye to two fantastic people who are leaving RTE in the next 24, 48 hours. One is Phil Collins, who's the human face, one of the human face of RTE. She's the person you talk to when you dial 208-3111. She's the person you meet when you come into reception, be it TV. One of about 10 of them, the fantastic people, the public face of RTE. And then the other person leaving is Paul Bradley, who's behind the scenes in RTE, has been for over 40 years. And he was sound, in charge of sound. He used to spin discs for Gay Bourne Show. And then he went up and he said, two of them are brilliant, brilliant colleagues. And between the two of them, work this out, guys, they've committed 85 years to this organisation, which is a great tribute to them, and indeed a great tribute to the organisation. So well done, Paul, and well done, Phil. Now they're going their separate ways. They're going their separate ways, but they're two great, great people. And to anyone else who's retiring, I know it's the 1st of November. Over the weekend, a lot of people might be gone. Okay, where's Seamus O'Rourke? Seamus, say goodbye with smile.
Smile. I know we can't see your mouth, but smile from under your chin all the way down to your toes and from the bridge of your nose upwards. Smile, bring a smile into your eyes. To some you might just look surprised, but so what? Ask them what they've got in the way of positivity and joy. Try whistling for a while. Maybe whistle an old number one. And if you can't whistle with your mask on, whistle inwardly instead, or just make a humming sound. Let out a fart in company. Don't keep such a symphony to yourself. And remember, you can belch all you like into your protective gear. There's no fear of onion smells in among the Christmas bells or the hocus pocus of Halloween while we're all hanging on and counting down. Do a little dance. When you're standing in line, when everyone is 2 metres away, do a shuffle. Just a 1, 2, 3. Or feel free to elaborate. Go for a high kick. Only if you're up to it. Or twirl. There's no one within an ass's roar of your tail swing. Sing. Anything from Bing Crosby to Bob Dylan or Stormzy. Give it lots of attitude. Be a cool dude like Hosier. Be a king. Be your own king. Be cool with everything, knowing that everything will be okay sometime very soon. Swoon. Swoon and then grab hold of life and kill the bugs to the left and right. Fight the negativity with generosity and a spirit of goodwill and kindness. And for goodness sake, stay away from the Cloak and Dagger Inn. Those circling the bandwagons are circling all in vain, for pain has been this way before. It has knocked on our door many times, trick or tweeting, hype and spite and all that makes us want to say, get away to hell from about me. Not today. Today we play. Play. Play with your kids and your grandkids. Grab your sons and daughters and squeeze them tight. Lavish them with a love for life. Make funny faces. Blow raspberries in their bellies. Make rude noises that prizes life and squeals of delight. And maybe another little fart. Tell someone a joke. Don't use an old one. Make one up. Make tea. Make a cup for everyone and talk. Talk. Talk to yourself if there's no one there. Who cares if you answer back? Interview yourself. Give yourself a prize for hanging in and not giving out. Pout. Pout only when it's time to go to bed or time to say goodbye. Cry. Cry for others, but not for you, because you are the best thing to come out of these lockdown blues. And when we find our smile again, we must remember to wear it out on life and love and something funny that we once said. Live.